Hey girls, welcome to Girl How, the ultimate podcast to solve all your girl problems.
This is Fazana, a law graduate and a digital creator.
And this is Sarobi, a student and a blogger. Listen to the whole of today's podcast to ensure that you are the best girl boss that you can be. In this episode, we'll be chatting all about you need to suffer to be successful. Now, this is actually a podcast that I feel like a lot of people do not make. But before we get right into the debate, I would like to start off by talking about a new feature that Spotify has recently launched. And this feature is actually the followers feature, where you can now follow us on Spotify and we can actually keep track with how many people are loving and supporting our podcast. So if you have been a loyal listener, because yes, today is actually the 100th episode that we're posting, we want to maybe do a woohoo for that, because it's absolutely... Of course, exactly. It is our 100th episode. So if you would like to show us some love and support, then please make sure to go on Spotify. It can be accessed on any phone, whether you're an iPhone user, an Android user, and you can follow us and we can keep track with how many people are loving our podcast. So that's our humble request to you. And now my sister would like to talk a little bit about Apple Podcasts as well.
Of course. So if you're an Apple user and you feel like that you have access to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, then please do leave a review to us, because that's going to make us so happy. And I feel like the more and more girls and women of any ages, races and color and religion can access to us more and more, and they will be able to actually listen to all the gems that we drop every other time.
Exactly. We want you to be women who have constructed your opinions on topics from abortion, from, you know, relationships, from education, from academics. We want you to be someone who is high value and who knows all the information about all these topics. We want you to become the best version of yourself. So if you do want to help yourself and also help other girls out there, because we're all about being selfless and we want to share this knowledge, make sure to do those two things. But without any further ado, we're going to get right into today's debate. And today's debate is going to be about you need to suffer to be successful. Now, what does that mean? A lot of women actually feel like that they need to put a lot of work in, they need to do hard work, especially with the feminist movement. A lot of women feel like they need to do 10 times more effort than men, or they need to put in a lot of hard work to be able to get their goals achieved, when in reality that might not actually be the case. A lot of women are instead now saying that you can use manifestation or law of attraction to be able to attract good things into your life. So we're going to be discussing all about this topic. And in this topic, I will be against the statement, you need to suffer to be successful. And my sister will be for the statement, you need to suffer to be successful. And as we always say, make sure that you read the description box below, as it relates to every single podcast episode of this series, including this one, for all the disclaimers. And without any further ado, we're going to get right into it. And I'll let my sister start today's podcast.
Yeah, so let's get started with my point of view on this statement, and that is the fact that I believe that you need to suffer to be successful, because I feel like that if you suffer and then achieve whatever you want to achieve in life, then you're going to value it more in comparison to someone who already gets it since they're born. For example, if you have born in a poor family, for example, and then you become slowly by the age of 32 or 35 a millionaire or a billionaire for that matter, and you achieve all of that because of all of the circumstances, despite all the circumstances given to you, or, you know, all the poor, homelessness and being hungry all the time and all this kind of stuff, and you actually fight all of those things to be able to achieve the best outcome possible, which is to become a multi-billionaire, for example, by the age of 35, then obviously then you feel like that you are more likely to cherish your success and you're more likely to be proud of yourself than in comparison to someone who is already rich or born in a rich family and they're getting everything anyway because of inheritance, because of the father or because of the mother is rich or whatever that might be, and then so on and so forth. So I believe that is very, very important that we, not very, very important, but it's very like, obviously common sense that obviously if you achieve something through suffering and you have been through everything, then obviously you're more likely to cherish it. And that goes the same for the success. For example, if, like, let's say somebody who's going through a disease, for example, and they were very healthy and all in all, but then they became suddenly very sick and then they become recovered and healthy again, obviously they're more likely to cherish their health more in comparison to someone who has always like been healthy for their whole life. So it's kind of like that, basically. So that's what I would like to say for this first point of this debate.
Well, first of all, I would just like to say that I actually disagree with that, because the reason I do understand what you mean by, you know, you value it more if you, you know, you really work hard for something. So for example, let's say with grades, if you worked really, really hard for that A star and then you get that A star in the end, you will feel very satisfied. I completely understand what you said. But that does not mean that, first of all, we have to undervalue those people who are naturally smart. So for example, if there were two students who actually got A stars, one of them are naturally smart and one of them worked really hard. Of course, the one that worked really hard, they should be very happy with what they did. But if that person who was naturally smart got an A star, it doesn't mean now they should feel bad about themselves. Or they should feel like, oh, I didn't even work hard for this. I don't deserve this. A lot of people nowadays also have imposter syndrome, which is that they feel like they're not good enough. And I think that sometimes people who are naturally smart or have been gifted with certain talents, they feel like, oh, I don't deserve all of this because this was God given to me. But that's actually not true. You should be grateful. And that's my point for these 2 minutes my counter argument, which is that if you feel like you need to suffer to become successful just so you can feel satisfied in the end, that's not true, because gratitude is for everyone. We have been given a lot of things in this world that we did not work hard for. For example, our eyesight. Did we work hard since birth to get our eyesight? No. Did we work hard to get 2 arms and 2 legs? No. Did we work hard to, for example, be able to walk? No. So everything in life, you know, you didn't have to work hard extremely, and there are only certain things you need to work hard for. And the point about that you said about the sickness and how some people get sick, after a certain point of time, that's actually relates to my point, because I feel like you should be enjoying your time and you shouldn't have to suffer all the time, because your ultimate goal in life is to seek happiness, right? So if you are trying to seek happiness, then why do you have to delay your happiness? It doesn't mean now you have to be depressed to be able to get happiness in the future. Because just like a lot of people the person who got sick, they shouldn't have been telling themselves that, oh, I'm just going to work hard right now and then I'm going to be happy. How do you know you're not going to get sick in 10 years time and then you won't be able to be happy while you're sick? So it's better not to delay your happiness and to actually enjoy your moment.
Ooh, all right. So we're getting on very heated up in this argument, but I feel like that I can counter argue that very, very well by saying this statement or this argument on my side. And that is that you can tell a very good story when you have suffered a lot and then you actually become the best version of yourself or successful in that particular field or whatever you've achieved, and it sells fast. And hence why we never hear about those planes that, you know, that landed very safely, because what's the point? Because it's just a plane that landed safely. It's not anything groundbreaking or breaking news. But when it comes to anything that goes wrong, for example, a plane that did not land very safely and everybody thinks that it disappeared. For example, that plane that happened a few years ago where everybody was like, where did it go? And those are the stuff that actually make the news. Those are the stuff that sells. So if you want your story to be a success story because you have become successful, obviously you need to suffer a little bit. You need to go through a little bit of failure to be able to actually make that a groundbreaking, breaking news, if you know what I mean. And the same goes, for example, very relatable. And I've seen this in couple of YouTube videos where they make fun of these people, but people who have got always bad grades and then suddenly they get a Cambridge offer or an Oxford offer and they basically get into this degree and all this kind of stuff, and then they become a success story. Because why? Because they're probably immigrants, for example, let's say, and they had to go through so much pain, so much anguish, like so much hunger and homelessness, and then they basically achieve the best grades in A-levels and then they get into Cambridge and Oxford. Those stories make the news. Not about that, you know, that rich student who basically came from he's an international student, for example, and he went to Cambridge. It's not the same thing, obviously. Obviously, the stories where you feel like to tear up, you feel emotional, and that those are the stories of success that actually make the news and they want to be heard by everyone. So that's what I would say for my 2 minute points or 2 minute points. Yeah, that's what I mean.
All right, so quite a few things to say, so I'll quickly say it. So the thing that you said about your story and how it makes it more inspirational if you actually suffer, I actually will have to agree with that to an extent. I understand that there are a lot of inspirational stories out there on YouTube, on Instagram. I'm not gonna lie, I've been seeing it a lot on LinkedIn as well. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I was just a poor, you know, hungry boy when I was 11 years old, and then now I'm like doing a PhD. Like, you know, they just come with these stories, right? Yeah, very inspirational. But I think that personally, a lot of people, because of these stories, they are now creating problems so that their story becomes inspirational. And I have an example of this. For example, if you know the author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, I completely butchered the name. I hope I didn't butcher it. But if you know that author, she actually mentioned in a TED talk once where she actually said that she has had a very good childhood and she actually lived a very nice, happy, healthy childhood. But to make her story inspirational, she would sometimes lie to the media and tell her that her parents abused her just to make it seem like inspirational. Because when she compared her story to other authors, it seemed like she didn't go through much suffering. So I feel like people are nowadays creating mental health issues. Now, I don't want to go into controversial opinions here. I'm not saying that all mental health issues are created. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people create problems or they create issues to show that they have went through so much suffering. And your story doesn't need to have full of failures in order to make it sound amazing. If you get a Cambridge offer, it's still good as someone who is poor and also got a Cambridge offer. It doesn't mean that your Cambridge offer is now less worthy or your PhD is less worthy, if you get what I mean. And my point for these 2 minutes, I always run out of time, but my point for these 2 minutes is that, speaking of the what you said about the international students and how they came into Cambridge or Oxford or any other good university, we need to understand that luck plays a huge role. It is not the international students' fault that they were gifted with money, okay? It's like they were born into a rich family. If you were rich yourself, you wouldn't be like, oh, let me go and be poor so I can see how it feels to be poor. No, you have to be grateful for your blessings and you cherish your blessings. So you need to understand that luck plays a huge role in success and that you don't need to suffer to be successful. If that international student got money and got into Cambridge and, you know, they didn't need to suffer that much, that's absolutely fine. That's how their life went by. So you don't need to compare your life paths to other people, and you need to understand that luck does play a huge role and it is about what God chooses for you in the end of the day as well.
Of course, luck plays a role, and I believe that. But I feel like that, you know, if you suffer more than and you become successful, then obviously it makes it, as I said, very inspirational at the same time. But I feel like that also people can relate to you more because there are more poor people or people with disadvantages more in this world rather than successful people who are already born in rich families and stuff, in rich countries, for example. So hence why I feel like that people can relate to you more when you share the story about, oh yeah, I was, you know, disabled when I was a young child and then I basically did these exercises on my own and then I became successful. Like, you know, many people have different kinds of inspirational stories, if you know what I mean. And hence why people can relate to you more. And this is best example I can give for this is singers, for example. Singers sometimes will purposely go into relationships, for example, where they know it's not going anywhere, but just to feel have that feeling of breakup and, you know, sadness and everything like that, just to make the songs basically sell because it relates to ordinary people's breakup stories and stuff. They would go through that and then they will basically channel that through their songs, and those songs become successful, downloadable, and everybody wants to hear them. And I'm sure some of us, I know which singer I might be talking about and everything, and basically make sure that, you know, they can sell the songs and everything. They purposely go in relationships where it's going to be a failure so that, you know, people can feel their heart, like, you know, in the songs, and they can relate to their songs and everything like that. Hence why I feel like you need to suffer sometimes to be able to get something really fruitful and successful at the end. And yeah, that will be my point about this 2 minutes, that simply that people relate to you more if you suffer and then you become successful.
Well, I actually, again, I wouldn't agree with that. And, you know, I do agree with you when you said that there are more disadvantaged people in the world than advantaged people. But again, it's really all subjective because everyone has their own unique set of blessings. And as we said, luck does play a huge role. So, you know, there are going to be still a lot. You might be making a poor person feel good that, oh, you know, I was poor once upon a time and now I go to, I don't know, Harvard. And, you know, you might make that poor person feel good, but does that mean that there is a guarantee that that poor person is also going to be able to go to Harvard? No, there is no guarantee that all the people you're motivating are also going to end up having the same life experience as you or the same success as you. So why are you leading these people on? Like, why are you telling these poor people all of these amazing success stories and then they're going to get motivated for 5 seconds, but they're not going to do anything about it? So that's what I meant by luck plays a huge role, and that there's really no point in motivating too many people because they got to do all the work in the end of the day themselves. And my point for these 2 minutes is actually that you, when you said about the singers, about how, you know, sometimes they'll go through bad relationships to be able to get motivation, well, actually they enjoy it. And that's what I wanted to say about my 2 minutes, is that you don't need to suffer to be successful, because it's all about you enjoying and following your passions. As long as you enjoy and follow your passion, then you are going to be successful. That person, that singer who goes onto bad relationships and then goes on breakups and then makes successful songs, they enjoy doing this, let's be honest, because they're going to enjoy that money that comes out in the end, you know, all that money that's coming into their bank after doing that song, after all those tears and hard work they put into it, because they know they love singing, they know they love gaining fame, they love an audience, they love, you know, getting to see all that money after they feel, you know, put a song on, they love to see their albums. So why are we thinking that that person does not also gain success from that as well? So you don't need to suffer to become successful, because you need to just enjoy and follow your passions, and those things will come to you automatically.
Ooh, very deep right there about all the singers who make sad songs and breakup songs right there. But I believe that not everyone has all the advantages that, you know, these rich people have. And, you know, they have already spoon fed into their table every single morning in their big ass table. Biggest tables and everything like that. Not everybody has all the advantages, obviously, and sometimes you need to show that you have suffered in order to give people that, you know, at least that poor person who might be listening to this talk, and let's say of a person who went from poor to rich, for example, and that poor person right there who is in the audience and that might be listening to this, it gives them some certain kind of a hope that maybe the next person, it can be me. It doesn't have to be somebody who's rich necessarily, or somebody who's born rich or anything like that. It can be me next time, maybe. It gives that hope in the people's hearts that they can also do this in a way. And that makes it look like that it is much more relatable and other people's lives. And yeah, I feel like that the hope element is very important when it comes to trying to be successful in life. Because if you don't have hope, then you can never work like every single day and achieve the best. And you're going to feel less and less motivated, because you cannot relate, obviously. As I mentioned before, you cannot relate to some person who was just like you and then they went from poor to rich, for example, and they became successful. So hence why I believe that hope is a very key element when it comes to giving other people the chance to, you know, see that, yeah, you can do this too. And hence why I feel like that you need to suffer to be successful.
Well, I mean, I think you didn't hear my last point very well, because I said that it's not enough to see poor people get motivation from others when they're not putting in the work themselves. Hope is not enough, because I said in my last point that if a poor person sees another poor person getting to Harvard, it'd be like, oh my God, this person going to Harvard. But does that guarantee the witness, so let's say there is a poor person A and there's poor person B, okay, and poor person B going to Harvard, right? Does it mean that poor person A is also going to have such a success story? No, there is no guarantee. So what's the point of all this motivation if poor person A is not going to bring themselves up to actually go and do the work and to go and earn the money and to then go to Harvard, if you get what I mean? So it does have luck, is what I mean. Is, in my opinion, luck is more important than hope, because it does not guarantee that every poor person is going to have that. And speaking of that, that goes on very well to my next point, and that is that sacrifices are not always suffering, and you need to always have great rewards in mind. So sometimes the feeling of having your reward in the end is actually very satisfying, and that's not really a suffering. So for example, I saw this YouTuber where there was this rich guy who was also, like we said, a very inspirational story. He was also raised from a single mom, and he was not very rich, but throughout his teenage years he would basically not have a social life. He would always isolate himself, and he would just keep reading books and keep doing, you know, rich habits such as meditation and journaling, and eventually he became really, really rich, and now he's a multi-millionaire in his early 20s. And he actually said that, yes, you know, it might have been hard, but you need to understand that sometimes the reward in mind, the reward that he had in his brain, that, you know, when I'm going to turn 25, I'm already going to be a multi-millionaire, that in itself could be something that is makes him happy, and that's not suffering anymore. Because once you have something in your brain that, oh, I'm going to get this in the end, that can actually make you feel really good. So why do you think there's suffering? I think he was actually enjoying doing all those rich habits, acting like he was a rich person, and eventually becoming a multi-millionaire. So you don't need to suffer.
Ooh, okay, so this comes my last point about this debate, and it's going to be relating back to what you said that I didn't mention, or I didn't refer back to what you said about the poor person A and B. What I have to say is that obviously if two poor people listen to the same story about how a guy or a girl went from poor to rich, obviously it's not going to affect everyone in the same wavelength, because everybody has their own life, everybody has their own journey and everything like that. But it gets you started. The motivation helps you somehow. It's somewhere it helps you. It gives you that switch in your brain that, oh yeah, okay, I might not be able to do this, but this feels good to hear. This feels amazing to hear that this person, this inspiration person, went from poor to rich. So that gives them the motivation. To some extent, it gives you the motivation to be able to like get started. It doesn't help you finish, but it helps you get started in the race to becoming successful, if you know what I mean. But at the same time, I feel like the mention about the guy YouTuber, as you said, that, oh, he might be enjoying, like, you know, because he's in his brain is, you know, the end goal is looks very fruitful, very nice and lively and colorful. But we don't know if he's actually genuinely enjoying his, you know, all the suffering that he has been going through right now. Like, you know, the single mom, he doesn't have enough money. Like, we don't know if he's actually enjoying the fact that, like, yeah, maybe after this, I will get this. Like, there's no guarantee, obviously. But at the same time, like, we don't know if he's actually enjoying all of that. Like, the fact that maybe, you know, maybe it gives him hope, definitely, but we don't know if he's actually liking the fact that he has to go through all of this and stuff like that. So sometimes, yeah, we do need to suffer, but at the same time, we don't know what the person is feeling. They might be saying all of this in the YouTube videos to just, like, you know, buy likes or whatever. Not buy likes necessarily, but, like, you know, get people to like them and stuff like that, and comment and share the story and everything like that. But at the end of the day, we all know at the end of the day that you need to suffer to be successful.
Well, I personally think, I don't know, she's just laughing at herself. I'm not sure what's going on today. But yeah, essentially, I personally think that the starting point is very important, as you said. Yes, I do agree that when there are two poor people, if there is one person, I'm sorry, we're being very, like, very generalized here. We're like poor person, rich person. But, you know, if there are two poor people and, you know, one of them gets motivation from the other one, that is very, very good. But what I'm trying to say is that, why can't you be that person yourself? You can be a leader. Why do you need to see someone else's success story before, you know, and then, you know, telling yourself that actually now I should do it because I saw some other poor person do the same thing? So I feel like a lot of people have this mindset that they need a leader to help them, to lead them before they go and accomplish their own dreams. And that's not true. You need to realize that you can be the first person to, you know, break the cycle in your family, break the cycle of poverty, break the cycle of hunger, break the cycle of trauma. You're the person who can be responsible for this. And I think that's very important. So I would say that to counteract what you said about the poor person A, poor person B, I would say that you don't need a starting point. Make your own starting point, ladies. And the second thing that I would say for my point for the last 1 minute is that I believe that what is very important for you to remember is that regulating emotions is key. So why you don't need to suffer to become successful is because suffering happens from when you don't know how to regulate and control your emotions. So if you learn how to control emotions, you're actually going to be more successful in the long term. And this is something that is not just coming from me, but it's coming from a lot of successful people. We know, for example, Tim Ferriss, right? He's actually someone who, you know, went through a lot of mental health issues during his university years. But he actually ended up becoming successful because he would learn how to regulate his emotions, okay? So it's not about the mental health issue that he had it, but he just learned how to regulate your emotions. So if you learn how to make yourself happy while enjoying the journey to get to your destination, that is a much better approach long term rather than suffering and then reaching happiness. And I think an example that also, my last example is also that a lot of people also believe in this idea of stoicism. And stoicism is essentially where you kind of make yourself happy and you create your thoughts and you create your story so that you can be happy. And a lot of people have used stoicism while trying to become successful and also while being successful. So you can actually be happy long term. You don't need to wait until you reached a certain point to be happy. So that was our podcast debate on need to suffer to become successful. I think that was quite a nice podcast after a long break. So what do you think of that?
I think this was a very fruitful conversation.
It was very wholesome, as they say. But yes, we hope you have enjoyed this podcast, and we hope that you actually let us know your thoughts of this on Spotify. And while you're on Spotify, make sure to leave that follow, as we already mentioned.
We really hope they have enjoyed today's podcast episode.
If you're excited for our future episodes, make sure to subscribe or follow our podcast platforms currently on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts.
You can also check out our website, zurbischscribbles.com, for extra tips and tricks from us.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll hopefully see you next time.